we have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Fear itself. Fear itself. Fear itself. Well, they will not be judged by the color of the man.
To fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air, we shall never surrender.
Hi, prepper brothers and sisters, you arrived at the bunker. Grab a cup of joe, a stout tea, or maybe your favorite adult beverage. This is the prepper's place for open discussion on whatever the hell we want, brought to you whatever the hell way we want. This is the new format of the OPS Bunker, a prepper survivalist show. So sit down, kick back, post up, relax, and welcome to the bunker. Preppers, survivalists, off-gridders, homesteaders, and the like, welcome to the Tops Bunker, a podcast for preppers. Leave a voicemail to get on the show, speakpipe.com/tops, or the live message option on Facebook groups, Tops Bunker. Email us at shtf@topsbunker.com. I want to thank you guys for joining us. If you're new to the show, welcome to the bunker. If you enjoy listening to this show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. Those 5-star reviews and downloads help decide the order in which podcasts appear in the search lists. Good or bad, of course, good is better. 5 stars is best. Your feedback is much appreciated. We got a great show for you tonight. Spring has sprung, and in most parts of the Northern Hemisphere, it is that time of year again to start your spring seasonal chores. As preppers, we have a few extras to add to our list, but first, here's a bit of important prepper news. Joe from the collection room says, this is newsworthy. Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton are worried about a drone threat at the southern border, the political impact this poses, and concerns about a drone war being imminent. Listen to this.
The chief job of the President of the United States is national security. Yeah. President Biden is failing at national security. We are extraordinarily concerned about a terrorist attack occurring in Texas or elsewhere in the United States because of the terrorists who are crossing our border at will.
I want to bring in Ray Donovan, former DEA Chief of Operations. Here's one of the things that Governor Abbott said yesterday about drones that they're seeing at the southern border.
Absolutely.
Let me foreshadow also another concern we're going to have really soon. This is already kind of beginning right now, and that's going to be drone wars. The capability of the cartels about getting things across the border through drones already is extraordinary, and they're going to be more aggressive, more sophisticated in the drone attacks. We can sustain a drone attack anytime.
What do you know about the drones that he's talking about?
So the drones that we have seen at the border first started in around 2015, was transporting, smuggling and heroin into the country. More recently, we're seeing thousands of flights across the southwest border. Primarily used for intelligence gathering, surveillance, reconnaissance, but also largely used to smuggle fentanyl and methamphetamine into the country.
Yeah, the next question we asked on interview is whether or not he thinks ISIS has already penetrated our southern border and whether or not ISIS is already here. He didn't go that far, but he did say the terrorists will pay extra not to get caught. Yeah, now, I don't know how you interpret that, but to me, that's a pretty strong indication that they're trying. At a minimum.
No, it absolutely is. I think law enforcement primary concern is the number of gotaways that got into the country, whether they're criminal groups and networks, whether they're terrorists, or they could possibly be intelligence agents. And what are their intentions?
On the drug portion of this, one of the things that, as I understand it, the cartels use the drones to figure out how to get the drugs across the border in a way that's secure. Just a question. I don't know what the answer is. I think it might be no. But legally, does the United States have the right to shoot a drone like that out of the sky?
Yes, it does. And the drones that are utilized to transport across the border are not just for the drugs. It's also doing surveillance on our own agents, looking for gaps to smuggle migrants in, and looking to determine patterns of when agents will be in certain locations. So they really utilize the technology to their advantage. Yeah, and it continues to increase.
And about 2 weeks ago, here's a hearing in Washington, an Air Force general on March 14th talking about that.
The overall majority of the activity that they see, the incursions, are spotters trying to find gaps, finding out where we are so they can be where we, you know, where we aren't. Mm-hmm. That's the majority. There's a smaller number that are probably moving narcotics across the border. And then
the drones themselves.
That's right. That's right, Senator.
You know of this. What are we doing about it?
What we're doing about it is just really pursuing it. I mean, I think the issue, as stated in that testimony, is being able to track them and the radar and the capabilities. Anytime that we lock in on a drone, the cartels are going to pivot as well. And to fly lower and lower. So there are challenges. It's a cat and mouse game constantly. But our agents are privy to the methodologies that the cartels are deploying to do that. So we'll continue to fight them.
Why wouldn't we just shoot them down?
Well, you got to find them. There are things such as frequency jammers and other detection devices. It's not as easy just to shoot them down as one would think.
It's my understanding there have been a lot of drone incursions along our southern border. How many drone incursions have we had, and what are they doing?
I have talked to Customs and Border Protection, who are responsible for the UAS incursions and in the border, along with DOJ, and they put the number at thousands.
Over what period of time is that thousands?
I would say in the probably over a month. We could probably have over 1,000 a month.
Wow, thousands of drones at our border? Startling testimony from a senior Pentagon official on Thursday on the number of foreign drones that are crossing into American airspace on a monthly basis at the southern border. Despite the Pentagon and the FBI sounding the alarm on the growing terrorist threat at the border, President Biden says he will not take executive action to secure the border. Instead, he says he'll rely on Congress to fix it. Meanwhile, in his new $7.3 trillion budget proposal, President Biden is asking for $50 million in border wall funding to be rescinded so it can be redirected towards securing the border in, quote, smarter, technology-forward ways. Joining me now with more on the impact Biden's border crisis has had on his state and beyond is Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. AG Paxton, thanks very much for joining us today. This is pretty startling to think about these foreign drones at our border. Give us your sense of the open border and its impact on Texas and the country.
Look, I'm not surprised that this is going on now, that they're sending drones across is no surprise. And it's no surprise that Joe Biden's not going to do anything about it. He started off day one of his administration saying he wasn't going to deport anybody. And now he's continuing to blame Congress, who has given him the authority, whether to remain in Mexico, stopping catch and release, building the wall. He has lots of authority. He isn't using it. He's doing just the opposite. He's aiding and abetting the cartels to get more people here for his own political purposes.
I mean, this is just extraordinary. We've been zeroing in on this impact in America. Roger Marshall, senator from Kansas, the other day joined me, said that they're setting up, led by the CCP and the Mexican cartel, setting up human trafficking throughout America, that they're setting up businesses that are massage parlors as a front for human trafficking. I don't understand what's behind this, why President Biden would keep this border open. You say it has something to do with cheating with the census. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I think you had a guest that just talked about this very issue. This is accurate. They are counting illegal immigrants in their census. And so they can move these people around to the states where they want more congressional representatives and more electoral college votes. So it's purely political. So he's willing to trade the safety of America, whether it's terrorism, whether it's drugs, whether it's other crimes. He's willing to, this he being Joe Biden, willing to trade all of that to get more Democratic votes so that they can control Congress and they can control the presidency.
So what about the upcoming election? I mean, do you worry that they're going to try to get illegals to vote? I mean, look, AG Merrick Garland said he's going to fight and vow to fight voter ID laws.
I think that's a signal. Voter ID laws are the best protection against voter fraud. There's only one reason that Merrick Garland doesn't want voter ID to prevail, and that's because it's easier to cheat. There's only one reason. We debated this Texas House in 2011. I was there. The only reason you don't want voter fraud protection or voter ID is because you want voter fraud, and that's clearly what this administration is pushing forward with.
The U.S. southern border crisis is getting worse by the minute. It's strategic, it's political, and it's dangerous to every American citizen and to our once great country. All right, it's time for shout-outs. Here's a list of our new Tops Bunker members on Facebook who joined in the last 2 weeks. Alex, Kevin, Vaughn, Brian, Ellis, Gina, Steve, Valerie, Pam, Rain, Lauren, Lori, Jeffrey, Holly, Shane, Kyle, Sean, Phil, Delaney, Eric, Michael, Monica, Devin, Brandon, Steven, Rick, Keith, Hannah, Josh, JT, Gregory, Steven, Angelica, Tyler, and Trevor. And those Steven names are spelled S-T-E-P-H-E-N. So I'm not sure if it's Stefan or if it's Steven. I'm going with either or. Either way, you're both welcome. Thank you guys so much for joining Tops Bunker. It really means a lot to us that you're here. Go ahead and interact as much as you like. And remember, have fun. Ron is not with us tonight. She's not able to make it, but we are going to handle it ourselves. Now, one of our bunker members wrote in a question. They asked, doing a spring break road trip. I'm more on the side of bugging in, but I figure I should use this as an opportunity to scout a bug out egress route. What would be some priorities for your route egress options? Just asking for a friend. Okay. Well, this is a great question that your friend has. First things first, if you're on top of things ahead of the game, so to speak, and able to bug out prior to the start of the SHTF event, then by all means, always take the fastest, most direct route that leads to your final destination, your bug out location. This is going to save you time and fuel, supplies, and even stress. Also, this will make it easier for any of your guests who may be joining you to follow along, or if they're making the road trip by themselves. I would be very careful, though, who you decide to invite. One, you can't uninvite them once you've given them the map coordinates to your bug out location. And two, you can't control who they might invite, even if you explicitly agreed not to do so. So keep that in mind. The bug out mindset should be that you are trying to get yourself and possibly others to calmly and quietly leave your location with most of what you need to survive in hand and end up at a secret bug out location. Now, whether that be some property that you own or that you control or an area far away from the action, okay, maybe in the woods or a state or national park, wherever it is you choose to go, in the event of an SHTF situation that demands you needing to bug out. Remember, always practice gray man theory when bugging out. Draw no attention, break no laws, get to where you're going without incident. That's your goal. Now, you always see on TV shows and movies these prepper survivalists who have these extreme bug out vehicles. They're kitted up like tanks, all tactical and badass, pulling an armored trailer loaded up with all their beautiful preps and gear, and they're all fire drill running around like crazy nutbags at Walmart on Black Friday. Then they're cruising down the back roads at breakneck speeds, they're ignoring traffic signs, they're squawking at each other on CB radios, they're saying shit like, over in 10-4, out, all that stuff. Please, come on, stop, right? Just stop. It ain't real. This is made-for-TV drama that's designed to keep you interested and watching. Yeah, it would be cool to own one of those tricked-out bug-out vehicles. I would love it. And it would be even cooler if it actually build one, right? The problem is, most of us, and I mean like 99.99% of all of us preppers, we don't have the extra 100 grand in the bank collecting dust to fund a project like that. And if you do, and you are, then we can be friends, right? I need to know where you keep your cool shit. Because when the time comes and all hell breaks loose, I'm coming to your place to steal it. That's the reality of it. All the cool stuff gets taken during a grid down, Tiotwaki, no rule of law situation. And that kind of stuff is going to have a bullseye painted right on it the very second you finish building it. So yeah, it's cool, but it's not realistic. Now, back to reality. When it comes to a bug out route, you should also consider several less direct routes of egress that take you to the same bug out location. Because the truth is, none of us will probably be able to bug out prior to the event starting, which we talked about earlier. This is an inherent problem that comes with bugging out. You see, before you can go bug out, you need to make the decision to bug out. And that's the rub. Bugging out is a big deal. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of resources. It takes a real commitment to bug out. We don't bug out just because someone sneezes. We have to get to the point in our minds that tells us whatever event is taking place just crossed that threshold of seriousness and became an SHTF event worthy of bugging out. And by that point, most everybody else in your vicinity would have come to the same conclusion. Take a page from Hollywood, right? The movies World War Z and I Am Legend. These are the two that really come to my mind. The main characters in these movies, both were military, both government type people, both of them in the know, so to speak. They couldn't get out. They couldn't bug out when the shit hit the fan. In TV shows like The Walking Dead and others, we would always see like miles of broken down cars on the highways and byways, right? Because of the mass evacuations. These are examples where Hollywood got it right. In real life, we saw this happen during the Katrina disaster in New Orleans. There's a line in a document in the White House archives about the failed actions during Hurricane Katrina. I found it. It reads, "At the most fundamental level, part of the explanation for why the response to Katrina did not go as planned, failed, quote unquote, is that key decision makers at all levels simply were not familiar with the evacuation plans. This lack of understanding of the national plan not surprisingly resulted in ineffective coordination of the federal, state, and local response. No one is going to be there to help you, and when the shit hits the fan and people start trying to get out, every one of them is going to be on the road, and you can't get anywhere. Which is why selecting a bug-out route of egress is exactly what we're talking about here. Now, many people were successful evacuating before Katrina hit, but almost 200,000 people couldn't make it out. They didn't make the decision to bug out on time. They made it too late. Making that decision, whether or not to bug out, is crucial. And it will ultimately decide how you bug out and what route you take. So make plans for several routes of egress, if possible. Some things you'll want to have with you within arm's reach at all times would be a current set of roadmaps, the paper kind, not digital. You don't want digital. And you can print them. Printed versions will work just fine. Just keep them in a binder. You know, they need to be protected. A better choice would be a paperback road atlas. I like those a lot. And there's some really good current ones out there. And also, they last a lot longer. They're made better with sort of a plastic glazed cover, right? Now, you'll want protection. So a firearm would be my first choice. Handgun, semi-automatic, chambered in 9mm. Okay, then you got your 12-gauge shotgun, preferably semi-auto, and or a semi-auto rifle chambered in .223-556. These would be the firearms that I would keep with me, all three within arm's reach during a bug-out scenario on the road. Now, if you don't have or can't have a firearm, no worries. My alternative choices would be a handheld stun gun that produces at least 1.0, I think 1.0 UCs or more. I like the Saber. There's one, you can get it on Amazon. I think it's like $25-$30. The Saber 2-in-1 or the Saber 3-in-1. And I think it produces like 1.25 or 1.30, but anything above 1.0, you're going to find some out there, some handheld stun guns that are like 0.50. They're discomforting, but they don't really put you down. You need something bigger than that. So 1.0 and higher. That's all you got to remember. 1.0 and higher. I would check out the Saber 2-in-1 or 3-in-1 on Amazon. It's around $30. Another legal in most states alternative to firearms would be pepper spray. By the way, the Saber 3-in-1 and the 2-in-1, they come with pepper spray. Actually, I think it's the 2-in-1. No, it's a 3-in-1. Check them both out. I don't know. But that's why they're 3-in-1 and 2-in-1. They've got the stun gun, and they got the pepper spray, and the 3-in-1 has a flashlight. So there you go. Other self-defense choices might be a baton. I like the, there's one out there called the Tire Thumper. I believe you can get that on Amazon too. It's something like $25, maybe $30. And that's pretty good. Now, I don't think they can sell it like as a beat somebody over the head stick. I think that's why they call it a Tire Thumper. But check it out. And it's just like a baton. It extends out. It also closes up, and you can put it inside of like a carry case, a sheath of some sort, like a holster. Put that in your vehicle. It's really good to have. Check it out. It's called the Tire Thumper. Of course, during your bug out, you'll want to have all of the basics that you normally would travel with, right? You'll want water, water purification, camp stove and fire starter, dehydrated storable food, MREs, snacks. You'll want to change of clothes, change of shoes, rain gear, a shelter like a tarp, two-way radios like the Bofangs, an emergency radio that has the NOAA channel with weather updates. You know the one I'm talking about. That's a good one too. You can get the wind-up kind. They don't need batteries or the solar one. Those of you who are super dedicated might even have a first responder scanner, like a police scanner, if they're legal to own and operate in your area. I don't know. I don't have one. I don't really need one, but I probably would get one if it was legal in my area. I think some places you're not allowed to have them. I'm not really sure about that. Maybe somebody out there who is into radios can give us some follow-up on that. And don't forget your binder and logbook for taking notes. If you're going to go out and start looking for egress routes for bugging out, you need to have notes. You need to be able to take down notes. You need to protect those notes. That's why we use a three-ring binder. Okay, so definitely make yourself up a three-ring binder with a logbook inside, pen, pencil, whatever it is you need. Get that going. You'll want to look for and write down in your logbook some of the following. Possible flood areas. This would be crucial if you're bugging out during a storm event. Low-lying areas and bridges that may be impassable. Check those out. High traffic areas, whether it be rush hour or panicked people, it's a good idea to know how busy a roadway gets on a regular basis. So take notes, check it out, research, investigate, and write it down. Good to write it down so you don't have to remember it for later. You'll want to log fuel stops. Gas stations along the way at key spots are a good idea for fueling up, refueling, getting supplies like water, food, maps. Make sure that you have cash available in the event that the internet is down. Credit card machines don't work without data transfer. So as long as the power's up, you can pay with cash, right? Now, if you do decide to stop for anything, make sure someone stays in the vehicle at all times, preferably somebody with a firearm, somebody who knows how to use a firearm. They want to secure that vehicle. You don't want nobody taking it, or you don't want anybody taking them. Head on the swivel at all times. Now get to know the areas along your routes, towns, cities, fire stations, emergency care and hospitals, grocery stores, family and friends' homes, good neighborhoods, bad neighborhoods. Places where there might be water, like lakes, creeks, streams, things like that. Get to know the areas along your route. Write them down in your notebook. Mark them on your maps. Look out for dangerous areas where you could be roadblocked and ambushed. You'll want these areas clearly marked on your map so that you can stop and assess before you go through them. This is where a good pair of binoculars comes in handy. So get a pair of binoculars. They don't have to be expensive. Keep them within arm's reach in the front seat. Get to know area landmarks along your route, like buildings and waterways, water towers, creeks and rivers, crossroads. That's a good one. Crossroads. People forget those. Write them down. Take notes. Put them in your journal. Now, if you're traveling with or meeting up with other people, you'll want to create rally points that are good, secure locations to meet up with them. Very important, because when you start adding in other people to the mix, everything becomes confusing, and the last thing you want is people to be confused in a bug out situation. Okay, now I'm sure that there's 1,000 other things we could add to this list of methods and gear, but it would be an entire other episode on its own. Now, I am putting together an episode about bugging out on foot, so I'll see how fast I can put that together for y'all. For now, remember to use good common sense and take a lot of notes. All right, up next, our list of spring season prepper chores.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Military-industrial complex.
And we as a people will get to the promised land.
We will make America strong again, proud again, safe again. We will make America great again.
Leave a voicemail to get on the show, speakpipe.com/tops, or shoot the bull chat room at our Facebook group, Tops Bunker, or email us at shtf@topsbunker.com.
As the cold grip of winter loosens its hold and the earth begins to thaw, it's time for preppers to shift gears and embrace the opportunities and challenges that the spring season brings. Tonight on Tops Bunker Podcast, we'll navigate through essential tasks, ensuring that you're not just ready for the changing seasons, but that you're maximizing your preparedness efforts to safeguard yourself and your loved ones. From cultivating your survival garden to fortifying your homestead, from assessing and replenishing your emergency supplies to fine-tuning your disaster response plans, we'll leave no stone unturned in our exploration of springtime preparedness chores. But why focus specifically on spring? Spring serves as a critical transitional period, bridging the gap between the harsh conditions of winter and the unpredictable weather patterns of summer. It's a time of renewal, growth, and, importantly, preparation. By taking proactive steps now, you'll set yourself up for success in the months ahead, whether facing natural disasters, economic uncertainties, or unforeseen emergencies. Throughout this episode, we'll draw upon the expertise of seasoned preppers and homesteaders, providing you with actionable insights, time-tested techniques, and innovative strategies to elevate your preparedness game. So whether you're a seasoned survival expert or just beginning your journey into the world of prepping, join us here at Tops Bunker as we roll up our sleeves and dive headfirst into the spring season chores that will not only fortify your resilience, but also empower you to thrive in any situation life throws your way.
Guys, keep up with me here because it's going to go fast. I'm going to give you a list of chores to do this time of year. Now, this doesn't mean that I'm trying to put y'all to work. Think of this as a friendly reminder of chores that usually need to get done in the spring. And of course, there's a prepper mindset twist to this list, and it's not going to be in any specific order. Okay? Ready? Set? Here we go. Number one, gather your people to help with the chores. Family members, friends, group members, neighbors, and hired hands if you can't afford it. Number two, security check. Check your doors, windows, locks, fences and gates, lighting and cameras. Conduct outdoor perimeter checks. Survey the perimeter of your property, your house, your apartment, whatever it is, for any signs of damage or vulnerabilities. Repair fences, gates, doors, windows, locks, and security barriers as necessary to maintain perimeter security. Number three, ammo stock. Do an inventory of your current ammo stock and schedule this year's upcoming purchases. Very important if you're a firearm owner and shooter. Number four, food storage. Check and rotate emergency food supplies. Review the stockpile of non-perishable foods, ensuring items are within expiration dates. Rotate older items into everyday use and replenish supplies as necessary. Number five, water storage. Inspect and maintain water storage. Check water containers for leaks or damage. Clean and sanitize containers before refilling them with fresh water. Consider adding water purification tablets or filters to the emergency supply kit. Number six, bug out bags and kits. Inventory your gear stock. Check for outdated gear. Make a list of this year's needs to add to your kit and schedule them for purchase. Ensure that all essential items such as first aid supplies, medications, water, food, and clothing are up to date and in good condition. Number seven, emergency preparedness plan. Schedule a meeting with your friends and family and group members to get together and discuss preparedness and your plans for success. Review emergency communication plans. Ensure all family members are familiar with emergency communication plans, including meeting points and contact information. Test communication devices such as two-way radios or emergency radios to ensure that they are in working order. Number 8. Evaluate and replenish medical supplies. Check first aid kits and replenish any used or expired items. Consider adding extra supplies such as prescription medication, over-the-counter medications, and medical equipment as needed. Number 9. Inspect and maintain emergency tools. Check the condition of tools such as flashlights, batteries, multi-tools, and portable stoves. Replace batteries, sharpen blades, and perform any necessary maintenance to ensure functionality during emergencies. Number 10. Conduct training and drills. Practice survival skills such as fire starting, navigation, shelter building, and first aid techniques with family members. Conduct emergency drills to ensure everyone knows their roles and responsibilities during a crisis situation. My prepper brothers and sisters, don't let this seasonal opportunity get away from you. March, April, and May are the perfect months to get those chores done. It's generally cooler outside. There's a fresh sense of renewal in the air. Our mind, body, and souls are coming back to life. Make a list of chores that works best for you and start conquering it. Maybe one day this coming year, you'll be glad you did. Stay prepped, stay happy. Thanks for listening and good night.
I always try to take the long way home. Skip familiar places that I know. I always seem to find the open road. I'm looking for it everywhere I go. Hey, this is life in the badlands, badlands. Forget about the reason, reason. Don't know what you're doing, doing. I try to catch the feelings, feelings. You make me smile. I just stay a while. This is life in the badlands. This is life in the badlands. I'm always making friends along the way. So pack your bags and let's leave for the day. Take your worries, make them go away. Turn the music up and let's escape, let's escape. This is life in the badlands, badlands. Forget about the reason, reason. Don't know what you're doing, doing. Try to catch the feelings, feelings. This is life in the badlands, badlands. Forget about the reason, reason. Don't know what you're doing, doing. I try to catch the feelings, feelings. You make me smile. Just stay a while. You make